Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hey, it's Brian House, and you're listening to the Work For It podcast. Our primary focus is business in the workshop. And if you want us to see and discuss your work, use the hashtag WFIProjects on Instagram, and we will shout you out and your projects. Did you know you can support our work for as little as $1 a month or $12 a year? Go to patreon.com/workforit to find out more. $12 a year? That's like a burrito. I love burritos. I'm just going to go ahead and hit the record button right now. Ladies
and
gentlemen.
Hang on, I don't have my headphones on. One sec. I don't want to get, I want to make
we'll
sure.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. Screw it. We'll do it live.
All right.
Who was that? What was that guy that screamed that?
I got you. I have no idea.
That news anchor.
Yeah, somebody.
I ran into him in Times Square one time.
It was
just in passing, like he was heading to work or whatever. Mm. I can't think of his name now, but
it's okay.
Kind of a douchebag guy, but anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you are you're listening to the 69th episode, if you can believe this, of the Work For It podcast, yes, right here on the Makery Network.
Speaking of douchebags.
right before the show, we have started already digging into hilarious 69 puns. And if you guys want to hear a couple, I'll just start off with one right now. All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
What do you call two skunks having a 69?
What?
Odor eaters.
Woo, we go
terrible
from dad
puns
jokes to 69 jokes.
We have to honor the number. It's
right,
just
right.
This is the way it works with our juvenile minds. We must honor the number 69, baby. Benjamin, how are you? How you doing, man? Welcome back.
Thank you. I am doing well. I'm doing good, actually. Yeah. Things are starting to come together. Life is starting to settle down, I think. Knock on wood.
Right on.
Yeah. Got some exciting things going on and, you know, gonna probably go into retirement here for a little while. So this is kind of crazy.
That is kind of crazy. Well, it's good to hear that you're actually moving forward with your plan. And if you don't already know, Ben is going to go in for some pretty heavy treatment for an ailment that he has. And it's going to basically disable him for the next 6 months. So he's been prepping for that. And we are behind you 100%. And
absolutely.
I'll tell you that you're not alone. The community is reaching out. I would hope they've reached out to me and wondered where you were. So, you know, I just kind of briefly
absolutely
tell people, like, hey, he's got some health issues and that kind of thing. So,
good
to hear that you're on the mend. Well, you're on the mend in your professional world, and then you will be going through kind of like a tunnel for a while, and then you'll be on the other side, which will be nice.
Yeah, it'll be weird. It's, I've, for those that maybe I have probably like four or five, I have six episodes ago. Basically what's going on. I've had Crohn's disease since I was about 15 years old. And most people, when they get sort of older, it starts to calm down. Mine, not so much. I've been going through
because
a
pretty good
period.
You're so youthful. You're like a youthful man. That's what it is.
I'm like the, what do they call that? Fountain of youth. But so
Benjamin Button.
So
you're going backwards.
Right. God, I hope not. Kind of in a way.
Oh, shoot.
But anyway, I've gone through about every treatment there is for it. I've been on every medication, literally every medication that they make to treat this type of autoimmune disorder. And came across some folks in Pittsburgh that are doing stem cell transplants for Crohn's disease. So I am headed back there in a couple weeks, middle of October, and gonna go through 21 days of pre-treatment chemotherapy to kill my immune system. And then it will, after that, recovery, basically I'll get some donor stem cells. That'll be the little seed that starts my new blonde hair, blue-eyed German immune system that's more stubborn and tougher than nails. And
I don't know. I don't know if you know this, Ben, but they contacted me, and in fact, I am going to be the donor that gives these stem cells to you. So
yeah!
You will have a little bit of me in you, buddy. I'm just saying. You know, hey, why not? Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
you're gonna start wandering around making knives and like yelling at people and drinking too much and all kinds of stuff. Yeah,
I'd get all your worst traits, you know.
You're like, man, my back is starting to hurt.
You'll start getting scammed out of forklifts and
I have this urge to build a grinder all of a sudden. I don't know what it is. I just want to build a grinder. Oh my god.
Funny.
Well, I'll tell you what. Over the holidays, I am going to be coming up there and probably coughing on you a little bit. So just be prepared for that. Yeah.
I'd love it.
I'm going to be up there because my sister-in-law is pregnant. She's having a baby like right around first week of December. So I'll be in and out of Philly, you know, back and forth a couple of times.
Well, shit, guys. If you guys both are going to be in the same place, I might as well be there.
Yeah. Well, you're going to come out?
Yeah, man. We might as well do this.
It'll be interesting. Well, so Philly's kind of like the complete opposite end of the state.
It is.
But
you're right.
I
could fly into Pittsburgh, though, and puddle jump over to Philly.
You could. You know, I've got you got me thinking, and I don't know if that I could even pull it off, but you guys talking about B. Cone coming down there, and I've got about 10 days, so I'll go back, get some tests done, and get everything checked out, and then head back to my folks' place for about 10 days of downtime before they start. So I'll actually start like November 1st, which means I've got these 10 days, and I was like, fly to Florida for
five days? Come down to Florida, do a little work on the new space. I've been like crushing it over there. Yeah, that'd be fun.
I know you
have.
You
guys down there. Yeah, I could use a set of hands for sure. I've been, we've been doing, we've only owned the space now for exactly 1 week. But if you've been paying attention on Instagram, you'll notice that the space looks completely different. And we've already bulldozed down a wall. And now this morning I spent all morning running new wiring. I'm not done yet, but putting in like an overdose of outlets. That's like one of my biggest regrets in the shop that I'm in now. So when I built that shop out, I put a set of four outlets like every 8 feet, but I only put them like 12 inches off the ground, right? Huge mistake. In fact, the electrician was like, you know, you should, this is a workshop, but these should be up at like, you know, 4 or 5 feet.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. So I said, you know, go ahead and put them low. And now every time I want to use one of those outlets, I got to like move something out of the way. So if you're building out a workshop, just keep that in mind. Put your outlets high because it really does make a difference. And as far as the
efficiency
goes.
Are you going to put a good mix of 220 and 110 in there? Or?
Yes. Yeah. So I went to Home Depot this morning to buy all the conduit and everything. So, and the way we did it in the other space was we used all that FSC stuff, which is like that plastic Schedule 40. And nice there's a huge shortage of it. Like you can't, I went to three Home Depots and they didn't, they had the conduit, but they didn't have the boxes. So it was like pointless, man. Right? You're like, you can't,
yeah.
If you can't put the box, so I'm like, well, screw it, I'll buy them on Amazon. And you can't get them on Amazon either.
Mm. Have Dexter 3D print some.
Well, that could work. However, that would take forever. So
right.
I'm sure that's up to code, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? Why did your place burn down? I don't know. PLA is really flammable. But it turns out, so what I did was I converted the plan over to metal. And it looks better anyway. You know, I mean, the metal mm-hmm. conduit just has an industrial look to it and the big metal boxes. It looks cool as hell. So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'll just put metal in everywhere. And it's really not that bad to put in metal conduit anymore. It's pretty easy. They have a bunch of fittings and stuff.
You have a bet. Well, you probably have something you can bend the pipe with, but or invent something. But yeah, really simple. I've got, my father-in-law and I wired my shop, 10 years ago. And at the time, I didn't have nearly the tools that I have now, but I've since expanded. And for a while there, I had like the most shady ass wiring coming to the shop. Literally,
an electrical cord like laid across lawn.
I saw shit in China
2 inches
that
deep.
Was safer.
That's exactly what mine is, by the way.
Just an extension cord.
Well, it's not an extension cord. It is a proper cord. It's not just an extension cord, but it is about maybe 4 inches deep max.
Is it in a piece of conduit though?
Yes.
Okay, so that's up to house maybe.
It's only a little sketchy.
Mine was in the air, and it came off of the pole. And actually, the shop wasn't on a meter. It came right off the damn pole. And
free power.
At one point, the shop was the house, and there was this little old lady that built the house. Her family still lives in the neighborhood, and they stopped by when we were we put a second floor on our house about 3-4 years ago, and they stopped by because they were like, "Would you mind if we came in? Like we haven't been there since we were kids."
Interesting. Yeah.
So their aunt lived here and they would spend summers here. They live somewhere North Idaho or some crazy shit. And they're like, we'd love to see it. And they came in and they're like, yeah, pretty much looks the same. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a compliment or,
like the trash, the trash heap when we left
looks
it.
Looks like shit.
Still looks like shit.
But so I had two lines coming from the pole, which is all the way across the backyard, and about a foot and a half before it went into a piece of conduit and into the shop, the wires were bare on both of them, and you could literally see where someone took the two ends and twisted the fucking things together. You could literally see windings. I was like, people, the wind would blow, and you'd be like, oh, shit, it's going to arc.
it's going to fail. I'll tell you, I lived in a house that was built in 1927. It was the first house I ever bought. I was 23 years old. I got it for a song, and it needed a ton of work. But I remember this was a long time ago. This was probably 2001-ish and or 2000 maybe. And this was just the time, when high speed internet was becoming a thing. So it was just people stopped using dial up. They were still using it, but asynchronous DSL was a thing you could buy into it. And the phone company, I called them, they said, sure. Yeah. We have the availability. You can hook it up. It was maybe 2 or 3 megs down. It wasn't very much, but it was something. And when the guy came to install it, he's like, well, where's your phone lines? Like, where do they come in? I'm like, oh, they come in and into the basement here. And we go down to the basement and I show them where they come in. And I'm like, those two big brass bolts are that's the bell wire. And he's like,
oh my goodness.
So these are brass bolts that were put in, I don't know, probably in the 1930s, right? And that's what they would use, like Bell Telephone would use back then to distribute. I mean, it was just two pieces of wire that would come into the house, bell wire. And I said, fuck it, man. Like, hook it up to that thing. Let's see what happens. And he's like, yeah, all right, let's do it. Like, he was like into it. Like, he wanted to try it. So we hooked it up to these brass fittings. I walked upstairs and plugged the modem into that, the jack and the, in the, I mean, the jack was just old and gross. And bang, we had high speed internet coming through like 1930s brass.
Nice. Yeah,
it was unbelievable.
Of course it works.
Well, folks don't realize, I think, at some level, how much that type of thing affects your connection, right? A lot of times, and I just found out actually, because we were using so much internet and our bill went up like $50 a month. And I'm like, what the hell? So I called them up and that was it. We had been grandfathered into some unlimited data plan. And then when we triggered some kind of a notification thing, and then that bumped up our plan. Well, I got talking to the gal and she's like, well, what kind of modem do you have? And it turns out the modem that we had, the highest speed that it supported was like 5 gig, right? And we've got 100 gig internet.
Right.
Well, the modem was choking the hell out of it, you know?
Right.
So once I, cause we've noticed it on the show, right? When we would try to do the live stream and Brian, when we try to do that shit, it just sucked. Well, now we got this new modem and like, it's screaming fast.
Wait
well,
a second.
Shit, man.
Does that mean we can do lives again?
Yeah, I was just going to say, we should try it again.
I think so.
Your internet was like the weakest link, and that's why we had no signal there. So we were like, you know, screw
it.
Not that I don't.
Bears.
Not that I feel like we needed a live stream, but I think that the amount of people who joined in on the live streams was out of control. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Like
70
some people at one time, like watching. No doubt. Yeah, well, listen, hey, I'm glad you're back with us. I know you're probably going to be in and out. We're going to start calling this the Benjamin Butler sabbatical, and so you're free to come and go. Of course, we love having you on the show, but we will support you in any way we can, and we'll understand.
I love it.
Hey, if you can't do it, you know, hey, fine, we'll see you on the flip side whenever you can come back. So.
I love it. But you guys made me I listen to every show that I'm not on because I still love the show, which is, you know, telling, I guess. But and I so appreciate you guys always. Everyone, you've mentioned it, and so I really appreciate it. You guys are
always, man.
Awesome,
yeah, man. Always for sure. Well, hey, listen. All right, let's switch over to Brian B. Cone. What you got going on? I know you're doing some stuff in your workshop. I see all the posts on Instagram and whatnot. And did you get your TikTok back? I know you said you were freaking out because you thought TikTok went down or something. But
yeah, speaking of, I'll start off with that TikTok bit. Just for a second there, I think it was just a site wide thing or app wide thing. Everyone's follower what is the three metrics, like likes and follows and subscribes or whatever it is, all of them were zeroed out. So when I went to my own personal page, I saw 000 and all of my videos were gone for a second. I was like, holy shit, that I'm like gone, I'm done. But
Y2K
something happened. I think it was like a server error for like an hour.
Was your internet hooked up to big brass bolts in your basement and it just somehow you couldn't get
No, that's
get
what
online?
TikTok has. That's theirs. Their server went down for like an hour or two or something and people were freaking out, but I had no idea.
No.
But anyway, so in my shop this week, I'm working on this giant batch and I am quickly realizing just how much longer it takes to do processes on such a large batch. Normally I go in and like in one day I'll, you know, do all the rough grinding and drill all the holes and maybe get like heat up through heat treat done, you know, if I have a decent day going on. Where like now, you know, doing such a large batch, you know, I'm pretty much doing like one or two processes and that takes up all of your day. Just because
I'm
doing so much of it.
You're doing it all in sequence, but you're doing every knife. is what you're saying. So like if you're grinding your primary bevels, you're doing it on 11 knives and then, or 13 knives or whatever it is. And then
that's
a lot, dude. Yeah. No wonder it's taking so long, but think about it. You're 13 times more productive, right? Yes, I mean, cause you
it makes you
do it in sequence.
It makes me think of, I know Brian House, you're pretty familiar probably with lean manufacturing principles.
Most definitely.
Right?
Of course.
And like one of the big concepts, right, is the more you handle a thing, the longer it takes, you know, and mm-hmm. sometimes counterintuitive to folks, you know, where, for instance, as long as you have that knife in your hand, lean would say, finish it. Right. Because putting it down, picking it up, putting it down, picking it up, even those like fractions of a second start to add up. And it's kind of wild. If you've ever heard of the company FastCap, they are, I think, out of like Bellingham, Washington, but he makes a bunch of cabinet making and, you know, cabinet maker tools and jigs and a whole slew of other shit as well for like carpentry and making. They have some awesome, awesome tools. But Paul Akers is the guy that founded FastCap, and he does a lecture series and public speaking on lean. And it's a really cool, really cool principle, honestly. It's fascinating, you know,
for sure.
When you look at piecework.
For sure, I get that. But anyway, so to continue my week, one thing that I have kind of gone back to is doing Instagram live streams. I did a couple of them. Yesterday I did one, and the day before I did another one. And a lot of it is because, like, for instance, I was doing all of my the one day I was just doing I was stamping in my maker's mark into the blades and normalizing them. I mean, I did something the morning, but I was ending the day with that. So I went ahead and did a live stream because, you know, there's a lot of time in between where you're sticking the knives in and then you have to sit around for a couple minutes while it heats up. So, you know, I did a live stream and I had a boatload of people.
Stick it in there, you gotta wait.
Right. what I thought was really cool is like, that's a perfect opportunity. Instead of just standing there and just kind of twiddling your thumbs or, you know, playing on your phone or whatever, you know, you can have a live stream going and you can have intelligent conversation with people that jump on. Like, you know, at one time I had, you know, Gentry Custom Knives on. I had Neil from Maximus Knives. I had both of the guys, Jason and Pickle Cutters from the Work For It podcast, the Hustle and Grind podcast. But nice.
Hold on, you said intelligent conversation.
Hey now. Oh, no.
Roasted.
Oh, roasted. No. Ooh. They're going to have to clap
scathing.
Back with that shit.
Scathing. So, Brian, all right, Brian, let me ask you something. So I know you said, and I couldn't find it because I looked to see, but you had jumped on a live stream with Fader, too, at
yes,
one time.
I
but
did.
It was his
that was
stream.
Crazy. That was
yeah,
crazy.
Like it was, he was doing a stream and you just like popped in or like what? Tell me the scenario.
Yeah, he was doing just a live stream. He was just kind of talking about whatever. And then I made a comment and he had me jump on for a minute just to have a quick hello and how you doing. But yeah, I was only on for a couple of minutes. You know, I'm sure you could tell anybody that was watching that I was, of course, just a little bit nervous and, you know, whatever. It is what it is. You're talking with Jeff freaking Fader, you know.
Well, he also mentions you on the last Knife Talk podcast.
Yeah, he does.
You're getting your balls all kinds of polished.
See, with that
really
one,
nice.
I was listening.
I can't wait till I retire so I can. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You're good. So I was listening to Knife Talk podcast on the way to on my hour drive, and luckily it was like an hour and a half in, so I had gotten into the shop and then heard him say my name. I like, you know, just freaked out for a second because it's like, damn. But yeah.
Well, you guys deserve it. You guys have been putting out some good shit, man.
Oh, I appreciate that. Speaking of Jeff Fader, he just had a really cool live stream yesterday where he was talking about Carl Ruiz, and of course that's not my story to tell, and you know, anybody that's listening, don't go and bug him to, you know, talk about his buddy like that. But yeah, it was just a really, really interesting. He was telling stories about him and it was just a great live stream just to you know, kind of eulogize his buddy that, you know.
And you can go back and listen or watch those live streams as long as he allows that. Yeah. Like if you do a live stream, it'll say like post it to IGTV or whatever, and you can go find it. I'm assuming he did that. Although I couldn't find the live stream you were on, so maybe he doesn't hit that button. I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, it's just cool because he's such a, you know, great storyteller, and you know, just talking about, you know, just crazy stories he had, and it's just awesome listening to him, and it was really cool to jump on for a minute. So Jeff, if you're listening, thank you so much.
I'm pretty sure he listens to every episode. I mean, I usually get a message from him, you know, directly, you know, if he hears something he likes. And I think the cool part about the Makery Network, which Craig Lockwood and Jeff started together over a year ago now, what I really like about it is the camaraderie. You know, that we all kind of lift each other up and then at the same time support, you know, what we're doing, but then kind of also dive into the DMs and say like, hey, I really like this thing that you did. And that is such an enormous help, because feedback like that for me anyway, helps me just move forward with what we're doing, you know. And like in the last Knife Talk podcast, he stressed the whole thing about getting together the same time every week to record the podcast. If you don't do that, you have a tendency to just, you know, skip one here and there, and then it turns into skipping months, you know, or weeks or whatever. And we did that long time ago, you know, Ben and I said, you know what, Wednesdays at 3, we're going to do this. And then when Brian, you jumped on, you were able to meet that same requirement as far as the time goes. And it's really helped us, because honestly, it's just a conversation we're having, you know, but if you got to find that hour and a half, 2 hours to sit down and have it. And in our busy schedules, it's like really tough to find those 2 hours. So, you know, we just like today, let me give you a quick synopsis of what I did even in the last 2 days. So I'm building out my new space, my new workshop and studio and Housemade headquarters, which is about 25 minutes north of my current shop. So, you know, think of it in terms of a half hour drive each direction if I want to go up there. And I have like basically wake up 7 a.m., have my coffee. I'm out the door by 7:30, 8 o'clock. And then like this morning, I ran right to Home Depot to buy all the electrical equipment so that I could go and start running all my new outlets and everything. And Ben, yes, I am putting in a nice mixture of 220. A lot of my tools are 220. So I need
USB in there too.
I did. I did buy some USB outlets. So we're going to put some of those in places randomly and all that. I ran wiring and I do have smart switches. So when you when you walk into any of my spaces, I can verbally command my spaces to go into scenes. So if you walk into my studio space,
69 scene, baby.
I can say, hey, G, do this, like, or set me up for production. And what it does is it turns on my production lights. It turns on my soft boxes that are above my head. Maybe it'll turn on a couple other things and disable a couple of other things like my air compressor and stuff like that. So
basically,
you know,
69 mode.
You got it, baby. 69 mode, diving right into the
diving
deep
right
portion.
In.
Yeah, getting right in between the good,
all
the good
hairy
things.
Details.
Exactly. And so I did that. I ran all that wiring this morning. I got about maybe a quarter of the way done running everything, and then came back. Drove all the way back down here to process my orders. So I'm processing orders. I get those all ready, packed up. Drive over to the post office, deliver them. And by the time I get back here, it's 2:45. So like, you know, I know that today I'm recording this podcast. We've got to get together. So my day completely revolves around me being in this seat at 3 o'clock, and I'll tell you why, this podcast not only has become a fantastic way for me to bounce ideas, not only off of you guys, but off the audience. And so we get a lot of feedback. When I ask for something, I get massive feedback back, which is super valuable. And it also provides me with a lot of awesome mental health. I just don't see people anymore because I don't work with anyone anymore. So it's like, I don't talk to anybody other than my family, my immediate people, you know?
Right.
And then the people who I'm DMing with, you know, on any social media, but I'll tell you, man, it's been a powerful medium, this podcast, and I'm so glad we're doing it.
Yeah, I'm totally I'm totally starting to understand that, you know, kind of loneliness of working by yourself for yourself. You know, going from working at Target where you see a couple hundred people through, you know, throughout just a couple hour shift.
Oh, I bet.
Down to, you know, I see Emily, I see, you know, a couple other people. That's about it. So
now would you say, Brian, you're a social guy? I mean, do you are you finding that it's like a hole for you, like a void, or is
No. I mean, I enjoy being around people, but, you know, working on my own and working for myself is a hell of a lot better than, you know, having to rely on other people.
I gotcha. Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I miss the camaraderie of having the staff, and I also miss the ability to like just send somebody to do something. You know, that used to be I had three people working for me full time. I'd be like, go to Home Depot and buy this, this, and this. Here's your list. Go do it. And they bring it to me. And I don't have that ability anymore. Although I will say Dexter has been working with me quite a bit.
I was just going to say, you don't tell Dexter to go get you a coffee or something?
No, he doesn't have a driver's license yet. He's 15, he can't drive just yet. He is also like helping me tremendously with a bunch of other projects. So it definitely takes the time off. So all right, Brian, is that your update for the week? Are we good to go here? Or do you got more to talk about?
Other than that, this past weekend, I actually completely didn't do a damn thing because Emily and I both had the weekend off with no responsibilities. We didn't have to go into any weddings or, you know, I wasn't shooting with Kyle. Literally, since we moved here, we hadn't had a weekend where we just, you know, didn't have anything going on. So we both basically, you know, spent the weekend. We kind of, you know, got the rest of the apartment put together so that everything's where it's supposed to be. And we just hung out and just kind of, you know, had that mental, you know, relaxation weekend. Just kind of recharge your batteries, and it felt fantastic.
I bet, man.
I feel like, you know, every once in a while, you know, I know all of us, especially, you know, the name of the podcast is Work For It. You know, it's all, you know, hustling. But every once in a while, I feel like it's healthy just to, you know, relax every once in a while, you know?
And smoke some crack and sit on the couch and just, or some methamphamphines or whatever.
Not so much, but, you know. So yeah, that's been my week. A lot of work with the in the workshop with the big old batch going on, and then this weekend was very relaxing, which I appreciated. Now I am ready to work even harder because of it.
You sound relaxed. I gotta tell you, you sound like your batteries are recharged and that your creative juices are flowing. And that's those times definitely are necessary. I'll tell you, because when in periods of time like right now where I'm doing my regular day job type stuff, and then on the side, I'm trying to build out this new space, and I'm the type of guy that doesn't hire a lot out. Like, I just, you know, if I were to have an electrician come in and quote putting these outlets in, it'd be probably like $3,000 or something. You know, it's just a ton of money when I can do it myself, you know, and I know how to do it. My dad's a general contractor. He can sign off on all the permitting and we can get all that just stuff done. You know, why would I pay? You know, of course I get it. You have to outsource some things, but I mean, it just seems like it's always a good thing to know how to do electrical work. Especially when you're guys like us, DIYers, it's like, I just want to put a drop here. I just want to put an outlet over here. Like, how do I do that? It is not that difficult. It is insanely easy, actually.
Right.
And you can go on YouTube and find any kind of wiring configuration out there and mimic it right on YouTube. In fact, April Wilkerson was the first. She was the video that, like, the first time I ever was introduced to her work was watching her how to install 220 in your workshop. And I was like, damn, this chick is awesome. Like, she's doing this, you know, it was a really simple installation. Remember that? It was like 8 or 10 years ago. She put that video out.
And 220, by the way, is really easy to work
stupid
with.
Stupid.
Always like so afraid of 220. And I always say, honestly, it's even easier than 110.
Than 110. You know? I'm with you. Mm. It there's two hots and a ground. You cannot fuck that up. It is easy.
I have never worked electrical work other than, you know, I ran that wire out and I dropped a couple boxes to plug in my shop, But other than that, like I have never done a whole lot of electrical work. And I remember being a really little kid and like I think we had just moved into a new house and there was exposed wires and I had poked myself once and it scared the shit out of me. So I've had like this aversion until, you know, I've tried to build this knife shop and, you know, now I've had to do it myself. But I just have that little bit of a mental block. But that's definitely something I need to get over, over just mentally to, you know, not have that little bit of a, you know, oh shit, this could hurt me, you know? Uh-oh. Did
yes,
my internet
I,
go
sorry.
Out? Oh, shoot.
No, no,
sorry
no,
about
no.
That.
You're we're
no,
back
no,
on.
Here.
Sorry. I someone was at my door.
My bad.
Yeah, no. It's okay. I'll tell you what. Electricity is it can be very dangerous. And I had an electrician actually tell me one time, they were like, "You know, if you're going to be playing around with electricity, you have to understand the difference between like wattage or voltage and amperage." And that's, you know, amperage is what kills you, you know.
Right.
And amperage is essentially the current. Yeah. So if you're working with, say, a live wire, right, but there's nothing pulling any amps from it, you can literally grab it and, you know, it'll suck, it'll hurt and, you know, whatever, but it's not going to kill you.
Sure.
It's the amperage, like if that same wire, say, was connected to a device that was drawing like, you know, 40 amps, that amperage is now being translated into you kind of thing. So that's, gotcha. That's where you really got to be careful. So, and my rule of thumb is, you know, running cabling, if you're not comfortable doing it, obviously hire an electrician. Don't try to do it on your own. If you don't know what you're doing.
I would say if you're not comfortable with like doing the actual wiring part, you could still run wire, right? You know, like if you know what to run, you know, like what gauge to run and everything like that, it becomes fairly simple. And you pay an electrician often by the hour, right? And they spend a lot of time just pulling wire. And so if there's any way you can have them come out and talk, you know, talk through it really quick and then you pull the wire. A lot of electricians won't do that because clearly if they're not pulling wire, they're not able to charge a whole lot of hours, you know, but if you find some guys that will do that, it's worth your time to pull the wire.
Yeah. When I set up my shop, basically what I did is I just ran all the wires through and, you know, drop the plugs where I needed to drop the plugs, wired it all up. And then Emily's dad actually does a little bit of electrical work. So I had to basically... I had run all the wires and I got it all set up and I was like, okay, you deal with, you know, the hooking it up to the box, because, you know, I just know as soon as I go to try to move something or do plug it up where it needs to wire on, I don't know any of that and I don't want to mess it up. So yeah, guys. So
yeah, for sure.
I guess Ben, we've already been through your week. Brian, we've been through your week. Do we want to jump over to the WFI projects?
So much to talk about on the WFI project.
Goodness.
Hashtag on Instagram. 433 posts and a lot of diversified posts, not just knife work. We're seeing things that are actually really cool. We are growing up. We are growing up. And it looks like Moxie ENG Mock, so I'm assuming it's like Moxie Engineering, he's refurbishing an Arbor Press, which I find super interesting. You know, it's like watching his process to do the Arbor Press restoration, and he hashtagged work for it or WFI projects, which I think is really cool. So Moxie Engineering, it's MOXIE ENG MACH, and go ahead and find him. He's in Bald Eagle Lake, which I don't know where that is, but we'll find out.
Here, I'll pick one real quick. A live stream by Maximus Knives. So he was on Fortune Fire. You know, he has a really good, you know, he really appreciated Fortune Fire because, you know, basically he really enjoyed talking to other knife makers and being able to be in the same space as people that are making at the same time. And he just really enjoyed that camaraderie, and he still is very close to a couple of those people. But he did a live stream. It went 158 minutes long. So what is that, like 2.5 hours almost?
So yeah, that's really long.
He did a nice long live stream where I think the vast majority of it, he was doing hand sanding. So he was, you know, talking to people, and I jumped on for a little bit just to, you know, kind of bullshit with him. And he showed me around the shop, and yeah, it was really cool to talk to him. And
which post, what is his latest post on? So when I'm looking at WFI projects, it doesn't tell me, unless I click on it, who actually made the post. So which is his most recent? Oh, here it is. I found it. It's his face.
Yeah.
I got it.
Green shirt, backwards hat.
That's it. Green shirt, that's backwards him. Hat. And he's hand sanding, and he's doing what I do, where he gets like super close to it because his eyes are bad, so he can see everything. Yeah, I like it. I'm in the old man club too, man. Yeah.
He's down there in Texas, and he's having a great old time making knives.
I didn't know he was on Forge and Fire.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, sir.
There's quite a few.
Did you see that hand-carved spoon?
Yes. I was actually just looking at that. That is fabulous. But he says it's got a crack in the bowl, filled it up, and will be using it as my own. I assume that he filled it with some kind of epoxy or something.
Ben, I need to correct you. This is a woman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. It is.
We actually have a single woman, other than our respective wives and girlfriends,
welcome,
watching or listening to the Work For It podcast. So,
welcome, Jeanette.
It's Cawo, or her name is Carol Ann Jeanette.
Oh, Carol Ann Jeanette.
Get it?
Racine. Racine. She makes some awesome spoons and grows some massive potatoes. I thought they only grew that big in Idaho.
And she's blacksmith. She's making spoons out of steel too, and brass. Incredible. It looks like maybe copper. Maybe that's copper. Awesome work.
Incredible. I'd like Caroline. Curious to know her process for spoon carving. If she does it all by hand or power carving style or what? But really neat spoons.
Yeah, I find spoon carving absolutely fascinating because I always think to myself, like, why would someone do this? Like, you can just go and buy, you know, it's just like a knife, right? You can just go and buy a spoon, right?
Right.
Until, of all things, a spoon, a wooden spoon. But I watched this guy, his name's Brian on YouTube, and he has a channel called Adventure Van Man. So he lives in his van. I'm like fascinated with people that are
by
like
the river?
Nomad. Most of the time, yes, he's down by the river, but he travels all over the U.S. and he takes like seasonal jobs.
Van life guy,
but like really a legit
kicking
one.
Off.
Yeah. Like he's a legit van lifer. And his thing is, like, he finds a spot on BLM land. He's allowed to stay there for, like, 2 weeks or whatever. And chills. And you know what he does? He carves spoons.
Wow.
And I got into it. I started watching. I'm like, I'm fascinated by this. I think it's fantastic.
Does he sell them? Does he have a site that he sells them, or he just does it for fun?
He does it. He's, like, a legit, like, nomad hippie. Because I've asked, I was like, I'll buy one of those spoons from me. He's like, nah, they're not for sale. Like he like does not care. Like he is like living on another planet. Well, it is like me and my knives. It's true, Brian. I never thought of it like that. Maybe he just doesn't want to turn it into work. You know, but
I do it for me, right?
Yeah. Speaking of that van life, my videographer a couple years ago bought a little van and went. He started in Michigan, went over to DC, down to Florida, across to Texas, over to California, up to wherever he ended up, and then turned right and went all the way back to Michigan. Just went all the way around the country. And
nice.
I luckily was able to go with him on the first week over to DC and, you know, enjoy that, you know, for just a week. He went for like 3 months or something. It's cool. Oh, he loved it. He works at Central, like he is one of the videographers for Central Michigan University now. And so his whole plan is to work at Central and basically live incredibly minimally so that he can fund himself to basically do that for the majority of like a year long process, and then, you know, go back and work for a while and then do it for however long he can do it. Like, he loved it so much.
Turn him onto this YouTube channel. Adventure Van Man. He would really like it, because this guy's like a legit dude, like does it, lives in, you know, his girlfriend had, so him and his girlfriend both have vans, and they live respectively in, like, she lives in her van and he lives in his van. Mm. And then, but they drive together. You know, wow. It's a really cool channel. So go check it out. But yeah share it with cool. Kyle.
Yeah, he would definitely love it. Will. Definitely will.
Jamie the Squid. I don't know if you've noticed, Jamie. But he is at the New England School of Metalwork right now. And he is tagging WFI projects like it's going out of style, which I absolutely love. And he is working on a hidden tang knife, and the tang is like the bolster is looks like brass, and the handle is dyed. A stabilized dyed red box elder. And you guys have, let me ask you this. I don't know about Idaho, but in Michigan, do you guys have box elder trees?
I couldn't tell you one way or the other. Okay.
We had them on our property when I was a kid. Okay. And I didn't know that they got this insanely cool, burl on them and stuff. I didn't, they were just like everywhere. It was like a maple tree. You just saw them everywhere.
Really?
And what it did was, in the summertime, we had box elder bugs. I don't know if you know what those are, but they're like a black bug with like an orange stripe on their wing.
Well, seeing how I've never seen that bug, we probably don't have them, you know, where I'm
those
at.
Those sound like, we have, what are they? Elm trees. And we have these elm leaf miner bugs.
Yeah.
They like burrow into the damn leaf and then eat the leaf from the inside out.
Yes.
And they sound similar. They look similar, actually, because they have that little orange on them as well. But
they're a menace. I think
there's
bug,
a few box like elders around.
Yeah. And I remember as a kid distinctly, my mom vacuuming, because what would happen was, when it would start to get cold in Illinois, which was like right around now, like September, October, it would start to drop into like the 30s and 40s. At night, these box elder bugs would migrate away from the trees, and they would land on our windows, and we would, because they were trying to stay warm. And in the morning, you would wake up, and sometimes they were so thick you could not see through the windows.
Oh my goodness.
That's how thick they would get. My mom would go out there, and sometimes they would get in the house sometimes, and she'd be vacuuming them up. It was the grossest, most disgusting smell.
Yeah.
And it's one of those memories that you. Oh, you do. So it's the same. Maybe it's the same bug then.
I don't. They might be. Honestly, sounds like it. Like this earlier this summer when I was here alone, I would have to sweep daily, like vacuum the floor and the mudroom where the windows are a bit leaky and they could get in easier. Man, there'd be hundreds of them fucking things just laying all over the floor. I'm like,
Google box
and have a
bug.
Smell too.
If you Google it, you'll see what I'm talking about. Box elder bug. This is the thing. It's like, it looks like a beetle kind of, but it's got an orange stripe on the back.
Similar, but ours are a little smaller, but also smell like when you crush them, they stink.
Yeah, same type of bug. But anyway, Jamie the Squid.
Chemical-y smell.
Yeah, chemical smell. It's the same thing. Jamie the Squid's doing awesome work at the New England School of Metalwork. So go out and find Jamie the Squid on Instagram. And follow along with his adventures in blacksmithing and knife making.
Here, let me pull up another one real quick. I've got Hooten Knives posted these little harpoon clip knives. So he's calling them the tape cutters. It looks like a really cool, maybe a 2 to 2.5 inch blade. But they've got like this really cool stone wash, like a acid stone wash finish, which is something that I've wanted to try to do. I mean, literally all you have to do is, you know, do whatever acid wash, whether you're gun bluing or you're doing ferric chloride, and, you know, just roll them around in a bucket full of rocks. But, you know, it's just something that I've wanted to do but never made that little roller thing. But it's got some really cool micarta going on in them, a couple brass pins. You know, this really, really high-end looking knives. I imagine they'd be great EDC. But yeah,
I love that shape. I love the shape.
Yeah,
that
harpoon clip is just badass. Yeah.
Oh man, and he's getting a super dark etch on those blades.
Do you know what's my favorite part about Brian over there at Hooten Knives?
What's that?
He spells his name right.
Ah!
Brian with a Y. Brian Hooten.
Burn, love. Baby, burn.
You know, I ran into him at Blade Show, actually.
Did you really?
And I recognized him immediately because he, you know, he's one of the few guys that'll, like, show his face, you know, on his Instagram feeds and stuff. I just turned around and, like, there he was. And, like, it was him and me and Dennis Tyrell and Bald Man Knife and Tool, Chad Kimmel from C and what is his name? His Instagram is C and something bladesmithing. And anyway, Chad Kimmel's an awesome guy. I just had a long conversation with him. In fact, he's like, hey, we need to talk about this this knife that you're making, this rasp knife. And he had a really good idea for the glue up. Cool. Of that and help me with all that. So, but all right, one more. I want to look at there's a guy, Shed_72, and he is sealing, he's like waterproofing his garage floor with a tanking slurry to make another workshop space. Dustin and Devin keeping me company at the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. So he's great listening podcast. To the podcast. Great podcast. And he's listening to that while he's doing this work. And by the way, if you've never done like concrete work like this, it's backbreaking. He's on his hands and knees and he's working for it like legit. So Shed_72. He's in the UK. It looks like
But when he's done with that space, that looks like it's going to be a nice, you know, it looks like it's all metal and concrete, so it'd be nice and fireproof. You can throw a forge in there and not even have to worry about it.
Yeah, it's like a single car garage, you know. It looks like
great idea.
Yeah, great idea. Did you see the folding knife that Mark V?
I was gonna talk about that as well. That is one of the things I've wanted. Like, one of my life goals is to be able to figure out and have the tools to make folding knives, because I grew up with a folding knife in my I know it's crazy difficult. You have to have super high precision tools and whatnot. But it looks I can't quite.
He pumped this out pretty quick. I mean, he got this done really fast. Yeah. Like, I was following along with his process. I'm like, damn, he got that thing done already. It looks really good.
I wonder if he's done it before, because there's no way that's a first timer, you know?
No, I definitely think he's done it before. But
go ahead.
Speaking of folders, how about Craig Lockwood's folder?
Yeah, that
gorgeous.
Knife.
That knife.
He's producing those, right? Killer. It's like a production run.
I believe so. He said he has, you know, many for sale. The first 100, I think, would be numbered, maybe. I don't know.
It was the first 20. First 20.
Okay. I got him confused because Jocko, whatever, last night put out a video announcing he's got like 100 maker knives available. And along with it, he started a new production, not production company, I guess, in a way. They're producing products, and he's made a sheath for the maker knife. He's made his own Sharpie, and then also this tape that has a pattern on it. So, like, if you need to mark holes or something, you know, like, say you needed even spacing across a 4-foot span. Well, you pull a piece of this tape out 4 feet, and then you could circle every other, like, little crosshair. It's brilliant. I mean, so incredibly simple, but brilliant, which is what I think Jocko's always had going for him. And now the actual products he's producing to sell have that same just intricate detail and thoughtfulness. And it's really cool to see, you know, him coming into actually selling products, which is really
neat. I bet you that was...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Baker knives are already sold out. He's been sold out for a while.
Oh, I guarantee it. Yeah. He had a thing up. He dropped the video. It was like last night, I don't know, 2 a.m. or something. And when I went, the site was still,
I think we just had a countdown.
We lost Ben.
He said he wanted uh-oh. To like, uh-oh. Give three
I really think
hours
that we just lost him. I can't hear him on my end.
I can't hear him at all. Yeah.
So, Ben, Brian,
neat stuff he's
making. Oh, there he is. We caught like the last like two words of that sentence. That's
and
fun.
Now he's gone.
Oh, now he's gone again. Oh shit! Well, he'll come back.
So Brian, did you listen all the way through to the very end of Knife Talk podcast this week?
Yeah, I heard the whole Jeff Fader finger in the asshole.
No. Even past that, you know, did you hear Craig Lockwood's singing voice?
Oh yeah, the song.
Oh
yeah,
my
it was
gosh,
awesome.
It's so
no,
good.
He rocked it. Yeah, he freaking rocked it.
I mean, I know the man's talented, but holy cow, he sounds good. And that whole band, like that was, you know, rocking music.
They
I loved
sounded
it.
Really good. Yeah, really good. And I don't mean to sound surprised, you know, like, cause like, that's not what I, you know, of course he's a talented musician, but like I was a little surprised cause it didn't sound like Craig.
No,
you know,
not
it
at
sounded
all.
Like, I don't want to use like Sting, but like
yeah,
almost like
that.
A Peter Gabriel, kind of like a young Peter Gabriel, like
right.
And then like some Joey Ramone in there because it was like some punk, you know, whole feel. Yeah, it was awesome, great show. They put together, and then yeah, I thought you were talking about the whole enlarged prostate story that Jeff told. Oh my god!
Oh shoot!
Which, by the way, I totally appreciate because. I'm in my mid-40s, and it's the stuff like that that makes, you know, you think, like, hey, I should go get checked out, you know, kind
sure,
of thing. So
sure.
I'm not going to get a finger in my butt just yet, but, you know.
Well, you're not going to hear that story until a couple of years down the road, right?
Right. I don't want to piss off my proctologist like you.
Right, right. Goodness.
Which I find hilarious, by the way. It's like, why was this proctologist mad at him? He's just doing what he was told.
Right. And, you know, it's New York City. You can only imagine how much people they have to get through in a day. I don't
right.
know, man. That's
true.
That's crazy.
Good point. Good point.
So, yeah, man. All so right. I saw that you got the forklift in the door this week. You want to talk
got it
about
it yesterday?
Yeah. How's that going?
Oh, my God. Great. I mean, it leaks a little oil,
okay.
which I've been told is a kind of common thing for those engines. But. Other than that, it runs great. The forks go all the way to the ceiling, which blows my mind, you know, which is exactly what I wanted. And driving it is a little scary, to be honest. Like, it's because the space is small. I mean, it's 25 feet wide by 50 feet deep. But when you're driving a forklift, which is like a big, you know, it's like 10 feet. I don't know if it's 10 feet long. I'd say it's like 8 or 9 feet long with the forks. So really easily you could swing the ass end of that thing around and like slam into something. Like if you're not, you know, if you've ever seen those videos on the internet, yeah, like where somebody's driving a forklift in like a warehouse and like all they bump into a shelf and like the entire place collapses on them. That's like the real deal. Like you could do that with this thing, and it's because the device, the machine is weighs over 10,000 pounds. It's like 10,800 pounds, and it's got to be that heavy because it's got a counter,
it's got a lift, right?
Yeah. But totally stoked. We ran, I don't know if we'll have time to even talk about it, but we ran I just put out a piece of social media asking people like, hey, I need to name this fork truck. And I don't know if you read any of the responses that
well, I threw a response down on there.
You did, actually, which was mentioned multiple times. Which tell us your idea for the name.
So I thought I was being funny. I was going to name it the Work Forklift. But inside of the word work forklift is work for it. So you got to capitalize the letters to work for it in the work forklift. So I feel like that would be a cool decal on the side.
It definitely would. I will say I was looking more for like a but you're right. Work forklift would work. And it's funny and I get it. But it's like I'm looking more for like a name like like, you know how people, like, name their cars?
Oh,
like a jitney or, like,
mine wasn't serious. It was more just fucking around.
So we got, I'll just read a few of these because they're really funny. Rocky Creek Forge says, no hernia, house lift, fork no me. Hernia. No hernia is the name. Fork you or fork me, which I thought was funny. Fork an A. By Ron Shu 1445, fork in a work fork it.
Yep.
Or mount a knife on and a sheath somewhere and call it Brian's knife and then label the forklift Brian's fork, which I thought was kind of funny.
That's kind of like that.
Three Arrows Forge Wood Shop says the workhorse, which I kind of like.
Okay.
And his theory on that is it's for the one driving, it's like setting on a horse and not doing much. And the one in the basket is doing all the work. So that makes a lot of sense. Mackenzie Overland, I'm really leaning towards this one. He says name it Atlas, which I love. And Sarah doesn't like it at all. But if you know about the god Atlas, it's like the god of lifting, rising up, basically. So there's yeah, which I love. I love that whole Greek mythology stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's fantastic. So Atlas is one that I'm putting in my Rolodex.
Oh, wait, hold on. Isn't Atlas the one that is holding the entire Earth on its back? Okay, yeah. I love that.
Like that statue of the guy with the big globe on his back. Yeah. That's Atlas Shrugged. Yeah, so that's it.
I like it.
Benjamin McDaniel says, call it Hank, as in Hank Hill from King of the Hill because of propane accessories.
It's one hell of a propane accessory right there.
Exactly. Pickle Cutters, our main man, Mr. Nick Tobin up in Canada. He says, name it the Yellow Submarine because that fucker will sure sink. That is very true. Do not drive that into any body of water. You're going down. Uh-huh. He says, Baldman Knife and Tool says, after hearing all the stories of the shady forklift world, name it Deliverance. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Deliverance, but it's where Squeal Like a Pig comes from, if you've ever heard somebody say that.
I have not watched that movie, sorry.
Yeah. It's an old Burt Reynolds is in it and John Voight from like way back. Greg's Garage Kansas City, or Greg's Garage KC says, oh man, if you have a forky, so you want, I think he's saying call it a forky, but he's like, you have arrived. Hank the Tank, my man Raul out in California, Centibite says Hank the Tank, which I really like. Forky McForkface is another one that's in the running. Yeah. Spaghetti Callahan said, Forky McForkface. Anyway, there was like 50 comments on Facebook, so I won't even go there. But
I feel like you need to take out your favorite 10 and make a poll.
Do a poll.
Yeah. 10 of them that you would be willing to live with, and just let the people decide.
Well, here's what I thought. Right, whatever we name this thing, I'm planning on doing a paint job on this. Mm-hmm. So like taking doing some Bondo, just some smooth out some of the dents and stuff, and then painting it. And then on the plasma table, I'm going to cut the letters out and weld them to the back of the, where the big heavy weight is.
Like it.
And make it like a kind of an art piece. And then we discussed this in the last episode, but take everyone's stickers. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a sticker swap. They've already started coming in, by the way. People have already started sending me stickers to put on the fork truck. So the fork truck is just covered in stickers from everybody out there. I will make an official post of request So if you want to get in on this early, just DM me and I'll send you my address. But I will make an official post and I'll say like, hey, I want to do a sticker swap, and you know, here's my address, and make sure you include yours when you send them to me. That way people don't have to message me, mm-hmm. you know, 100 people don't have to message me and just go, here, what's your address, dude?
Right.
You know,
man, that is going to be awesome. I'm really excited to see that. And that art piece on the back, you know, you're going to get it absolutely perfect and then back into something and ruin it.
We should name the forklift Oops.
Ah, yeah, maybe.
Oh, man. So, yeah, it's insane that I own a fork truck, by the way.
Right.
Like, I walk into my space, I'm like, God, that's like a heavy machine, you know? Like,
right. And, like, the fact that you have a space large enough to require a forklift has to feel like an accomplishment in its own.
Well, you know, the space itself doesn't so much require it, but it does, like, I need to get big, heavy things off of trucks.
Right.
And somebody on Facebook made a comment about it was a quote from Pablo Escobar. Mm-hmm. You know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
And it said, there's two types of drug dealers in this world. Those that have forklifts and those who don't.
I like that.
I thought that was very apropos. Yeah. So that's very cool.
See,
so.
I don't know if this is like a real thing or if this is just like a bullshit statistic that goes around. But I heard somewhere that Pablo's gang went through $2,000 worth of rubber bands to band together their money a week.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Or maybe
I'm
it was
not
a larger
quite there
number
yet.
Than that. Yeah.
I'm
no,
not quite
I
there
mean,
yet.
I mean, we'll get there someday, but, you know.
Yeah, we're working for it.
We're working That's for sure. it. And you someday can also work for it, you know, to the point where you can rival Pablo Escobar with the rubber bands around your wads of cash.
Yeah, see, we don't do any cash business in this business. It's all online now. You know, we're getting screwed. You know, there's no cash. But
we save on rubber bands that way.
I am genuinely concerned about Ben. I thought he would join us again. Like, I'm like, well, where is he? Did he like trip over the wire that like connects his stuff? I mean, we know he had an internet outage or something. That must have been it. Because
yeah, I just got a text from him a little while ago that said, "Oh no, cast crapped out on him." I don't know if that's cast or if it's his internet, but shoot, we lost him. Man down.
I'm gonna write him back and say we are still on.
Jump back in, my dude.
Jump back in if you can, Ben. All right. So are we done for work with WFI projects? Have we exhausted? I know there's a ton on there. I mean, we could still dig
into
them. And,
well, do you want to do that, or do you want to hit up a dad joke or two?
Ooh, we do need to do a dad joke. I got a whole bunch. I got a million of them.
I know you do.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, sure.
This one is just in. Like, this is hot off the presses. Just came in 10 minutes ago. Where do bad rainbows go?
Where?
To prism. It's a light sentence.
That's a good one. I like it.
That is a good one. All right. Wait, but there is another one that I wanted to use. Hold on.
Oh,
somebody
yeah?
sent me one that was really good. In Britain, we call it a lift, but Americans call it an elevator. I guess we're just raised differently. That one was really apropos. That one was from Justin Miller.
Okay. All right.
Let me see. And Bringham Kindell.
No. I was on a live stream with him. He told me how to say his name correctly.
All right. Well, fill me in. I thought it was Kindell.
Like,
oh, it is Bringham.
Like, bring him on over.
Ah, okay. Okay. Because the way he spelled it out was Bringham. Mm. Like, he like phonetically typed it out. And I was like, I thought it was Bringham. But the last name is Kindell, correct?
Yes, correct.
Like, I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah.
What did the bra say to the hat?
What?
You go on ahead. I got to give these two guys a lift. That's from Bringham. That's a Bringham Kindell. That's a Bringham Kindell
joke.
That's
a good one.
He has a reel on Instagram that has over 250,000 views on it, by the way.
Oh,
it's blowing his mind. He is like, he cannot figure out. He's like, I need them all to do this. I'm like, well, right. You got to get in the, you got to get in on the, whatever that algorithm is.
Right. Well, what was that all about? Like what was in that reel? Do you remember?
It was I think it was a deer hunting reel because he did a couple of hunting pieces and those have garnered him some pretty heavy views. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, obviously wants it to become, he wants to get more views from the blacksmithing side of things.
Right.
But, yeah, that's what it is. And I said, make more of that content. You'll find your audience, you know, just keep, if the people are watching that, make more of that.
See, that's one of the things that I have been trying to focus on a little bit and I haven't quite made the switch yet, but you know, all of my social medias are all around, you know, knife making and, you know, all the stuff that you do to make the knife. Well, all of my followers are knife makers. So, you know, I'm trying to promote this as a business. So I need to start using them and show videos of, you know, like cooking or hunting or stuff like that to bring in those people that'll actually be interested in purchasing a knife instead of, you know, getting those, you know, tips and tricks and all that type of stuff.
Well, think of it in terms of like a slingshot. So if you can get enough knife makers to look at your stuff, then, you know, the algorithm will push it out to more people.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
Okay. You know?
So I wouldn't worry too much about who is watching. Just, you know, just kind of keep slingshotting and splatter in all of these. Because you never know, a knife maker could buy your knife.
Oh, sure. Of course.
You know. My buddy Nate Wapole, he sent me a whole slew of math dad jokes that went back and forth. These were off the cuff. When I studied mathematics, I decided to specialize in subtraction because I wanted to make a difference. Math jokes are just a plus any day.
Okay.
They really add up.
They really do.
Yeah. With all the differences in political opinions today, math jokes are a common denominator.
Oh, my goodness.
Politics and mathematics do have a tendency to divide people.
Oh, my. Come on now. I can't give all of them these want-wants.
You know what I don't like about math? I wish it would grow up and solve its own problems. That's all right. I'm done. No more. But yeah, that's like, so to give you a little window into my world with Nate, like that's what we talk about. We go
that's
back
hilarious.
And forth.
I love that.
Very punny. We're very punny people.
Very punny people.
Yeah. So, all right. So, circling back around to WFI projects, there was a couple that I wanted to mention. It's a Zura maker in the island of Maui. Mm-hmm. He has done more of these glow in the dark. What do they call these things? There's some sort of carbon fiber and wood and plastic things for your hand. I don't know what they're called, but they're
a
little pocket protector.
Little mini knuckle dusters, but you know.
Yeah, they're knuckle dusters. I'd say that's a good thing. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not punching anybody with one of those. I don't feel like I'm punching anybody at all, but I would like to have one. Like that, I immediately like want one of those things.
Right. Well, I want to get
my car or something.
I want to get that glow in the dark material to put in the liners of my knives because that's just...
Did you message him? Did you
I did
you
and
ask
he,
him?
He sent me a message. I with my next batch, I'm going to add a knife specifically so I can use that stuff.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
So is it an epoxy or is it like an actual material?
I can go back in the message real quick and figure that out. I think it's like kind of like a G10 material. It's not an epoxy. I'm not entirely sure exactly what it was though. I guess it's been a minute since I looked.
Florida Man Forge, Justin, he made a straightening jig out of an old vise. Did you see this thing? Like it was two big long pieces of flat plate.
Yeah,
that he mounted to a vise so that he could, when after quench, he could straighten a sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
tagged,
super cool.
Yeah, he tagged WFI projects in that. That I love the clamping system for. So if I'm doing a high carbon knife, my quenching procedure is, you know, pull it out of the kiln, dunk it for, you know, 5 to 10 seconds, whatever it needs. And then immediately it goes into either a angle iron clamp or my aluminum plates or something. It gets clamped down straight before it reaches like 200 degrees Fahrenheit. And then I either just let it sit until it's room temperature or I blow cold air over it.
Mm-hmm. See, I do the same thing, but I made an aluminum plate clamp thing where I took like a really cheap woodworker's vise and some aluminum blocks that were maybe an inch thick by a foot and a half by, I think it was either 5 or 6 inches wide. And basically I just drilled and tapped those holes so that you could just attach that to the woodworker's vise. So that I do the exact same thing. I pull it out of the forge, dunk it in. I shoot for about 8 seconds and then put it in the clamp to bring it down straight. I find that if you have minor warps coming out, it straightens it right out perfect. And if you have bad warps, it turns them into minor warps, which you can straighten out with a straightening jig
in temper.
Shim temper in the temper cycle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've since I've started using that clamping process, I've never had to throw away a knife because the warp is too bad.
Same here. And my warping, I used to get, you know, banana chips and stuff all the time. It was a problem. And it was because I was working with A2 and I was working thin and, not clamping during the quench cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that, doing the plates like that is just, it's been a game changer. Almost everything comes out nearly perfectly straight, no matter what I'm working on, even AEBL, which is notorious for warping.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you how effective this is. I am currently working on a fillet knife that the thinness is 0.8 millimeters thin. So it's 0.03 inches thin. And I made that thing super straight.
You didn't heat treat it that then, though, right?
Yeah, did I did.
You heat treat it?
Yes,
you heat treated it that thin?
Yeah.
And you didn't get any warps?
I mean, I had a minor warp coming out. I did that quench cycle and put it in the aluminum plates. And it had the most minor warp towards the tip. Put a shim temper in it. And now it's perfectly laser straight.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's saying something, because that's really thin.
That's crazy. Like, that's like wafer thin.
It's wafer thin.
I almost wonder if it's going to be too thin for a fillet knife. You know, it's going to be like almost too bendy. But first time working with that thin of material, and it worked. And I'm going out of a forge, so I mean, it can't be that bad.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I have filleted hundreds of fish, and the more flexible the knife, obviously sharpness matters too.
Yeah.
But the more flexible the knife, the better the fillet.
Mm-hmm.
So because fish are bony, right? And you mm-hmm. got to get up and you got to almost like turn that knife into like a spoon, you know, mm-hmm. like a cupped surface so you can get in and let the blade ride on that center bone. And as you're, you know, drawing it through, if you don't have flexibility, you're leaving meat on the bone, on the carcass. So I think you're going to have success with it. I really do.
It's almost going to be scary to grind this thing because I feel like it's going to like turn into a wet lasagna noodle trying to grind it.
Well, I would say just put an edge on it, right? I mean, that's all you need now.
It's so thin that I can't imagine I'm going to put too much of a primary bevel on it.
Speaking of edges, Usel over at TR Maker sent me his sharpening system.
Mm-hmm. How's that?
Have you seen that? It's good. My neighbor next door, he's a young guy, he's in high school. He watches a YouTube channel. I think he listens to the podcast. I know his mom listens to the podcast. And he has this S35 VN butterfly knife with a really heavy belly. So more towards the tip, it kind of swoops up. Like if you can imagine where it's attached to the handle, it kind of swoops in concave, and then it's like almost like a miniature karambit or something. So he brings it to me because he dropped it on concrete and he had paid a lot of money for this knife. It was like a one-off or a very minimal run from a very famous butterfly knife maker.
Wow.
And he felt terrible, obviously, that he had chipped the cutting edge. And he asked me if I could repair it. And I said, I think I could. But the chips were pretty significant. They were like a millimeter and a half, like almost two millimeter chips. Ooh. So like the entire edge had to be reworked. And then I started thinking about it and I'm like, I can't do that with a belt. It would, because of the curvature of that blade, it would be nearly impossible to get that belt to ride and not gouge, you know, another portion of the blade. So I contacted Ucell and I said, hey, I want to try your system. And of course he sent me one. So I had him come over to the house. We assembled the system and it's these, they're like maybe 3/4 inch wide stones, you know, it's basically a file guide.
Sure.
And, but it's a fancy one where you can, it's spring loaded. So you can turn the blade. You don't have to do a lot of like messing around.
Wow. Nice.
It took the chips right out. Like I had him set up in like 30 minutes. I had the blade back to, you know, razor sharp, cutting paper and everything else. So really impressed with that device. So wow, thanks, Ucell, for sending that over from all the way from
Turkey.
Maybe I'll
have to go ahead and contact them and get one bought for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're, it's, you know, I mean, I'm going to use it to repair and sharpen blades that, that I, you know, if I'm putting an edge on a blade, I'm like fader, man. I like a belt.
Yeah.
I can put an edge on a belt or edge on a blade with a belt very quickly. It takes no time. This device is something like I could keep at the house. Like if I needed to, sharpen a blade, say I'm cooking or something and I need to, I could throw that knife into that thing real quick and get it sharp. So yeah, definitely go out and check out his stuff. And also his, I'm still a huge fan of his knife bevel jigs.
Yeah.
I mean, his bevel
jigs. I use it on every single, well, I guess I can't quite say every single knife, but every knife that I'm not forging, I use that bevel jig. So yeah, it's totally worth it. I love that thing.
Yep. Yep. Good stuff over at TR Maker. So, all right, well, listen, hey, Ben is, he fell off the face of the earth. I'm going to call it a show. What do you think?
Sounds good, man. It's been a good show on my end.
I got to tell you, Brian, it has been fantastic having you on the show, and I appreciate you as always. I want you to know that on a regular basis, I'm thinking of new ways of busting your balls and also giving you new and interesting nicknames.
There we go.
But I have yet to come up with anything better than Sharp Santa.
Sharp Santa is my favorite so far.
Really looking forward to December this year.
Yeah,
because I think we're gonna do some really great stuff,
dude. We'll have to do a live stream, and I'll have to play that up. Maybe get a Santa hat or something.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think so. And also, let's not forget that this is the 69th episode of Work For It.
Just in case you forgot.
So make sure that you. You know, smash that follow button on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. And then also, if you're so inclined, go over to patreon.com/workforit and, you know, donate $1 a month or whatever. It's 12 bucks a year. It supports what we do. And you know what? We might be able to generate, I think we made like 20 bucks this month in ad revenue.
Oh, wow.
And we can, we could, you know, do these live streams again. If Ben, it's so funny that we were saying that Ben's internet's all back and up and running and everything.
Oh, man. Before we go, I know last episode you were talking about wanting to get like a walkthrough, like a, you know, this is my shop video. Is that still in the works?
It's in the works. I started doing it. I didn't finish. And I'm in a little bit of a predicament. Mm-hmm. So, you know, building out this new space and deciding to kind of do a lot of the work myself has really shifted my focus to just getting that finished. And it's because I need money. So, I am in a position where I need to generate like some significant funds in the next, say, couple months. And those funds are going to come in terms of me possibly selling a piece of my real estate holdings in Naples.
Gotcha.
And I got to get out of this shop. So like it's the, you know, I'm going to sell one of these units. I'm not going to sell them both, but I'm going to sell one of them.
But you have to do a walkthrough before you can sell it, just so that you have that documented. Exactly.
Well, that's just it before I move too. So I'm trying to get the new space up and functional, and the electrical is a big part of it. Paint will be a big part of it. And then putting in the loft will be the last thing we do. And then, but as soon as that's done, then the move will start. Well, I also have to, I'm in a particular challenge, which is coming up in October, and I have to finish that as well. So I'm like filming that process too. So I got like many irons in the fire. So I had to kind of make a decision.
Haha, I'm already done with that.
I know. Screw you. I don't know how you're finished already.
I mean, shush, we can't talk about it, you know?
No, it's, no, it's but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, hush, I do. Yeah.
So, but that's going to be huge, by the way. So,
oh my gosh, I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, there's some big names in this one.
Yeah, like this big Brian names. Cone guy. Big names.
There's B-Cone Knives. We got B-Cone Knives. You got Dennis Tyrell and all the same character, a lot of the same characters from the first round. But then now we're working on a second challenge. So this is, and a lot of big, I think what happened was that got so much attention that all these other bigger YouTubers wanted to get involved. Yeah, so that made it extra spicy.
Yeah.
So, which is good.
It's cool. Speaking of YouTube videos, I love how I had said that I'm going to be releasing a video every single week. And then literally right after that, that's last Saturday, I didn't release a video. So
me and you, we're brothers. We're twins. Twinning, as they say.
I mean, in the good stuff and the bad, apparently. But, yeah, I today sat down and re-edited it because I did it all up. I sent it off to Kyle. He gave me a couple tweaks. I did more. And I went to upload it to YouTube and it just wouldn't work. And like things were dropping and I was having issues with it. So today I finally re-edited it with, you know, a little bit of help. And hey, it's ready to go. So I'll be dropping it on Saturday.
Nice, nice. I like it. So have you seen any difference when you drop a video on a Saturday versus any other day?
I mean, I'm so small at this point that, you know, everything's very negligible. Whether I get, you know, 99 views or 102 views, you can't really tell what the variable is. So, but yeah, so this video is going to be like a quicker, I think it's sub 6 minute video where I'm making little Damascus keychains that I'll be making to sell. The idea is, you know, having a little bit smaller project, still handmade, that, you know, people can support my small business without dropping a couple $100 on a knife. So,
sure.
I've got a video where I'm making a couple of those. And then in this batch, I don't know if you saw in the first post I dropped, I did an entire, I think 19 or 20 of them to add to it. So I'll have a bunch ready to go by Saturday.
Hey, awesome. That's fantastic.
Yeah, man. Making moves.
You are crushing it.
Trying to. But yeah, man. So yeah, that's pretty much it in my shop.
Well, I think we gotta, I have to edit this thing and then I gotta get out the door and I'm gonna try to have a date night with my wife because it's her birthday week this week. So
happy birthday to Sarah.
Yeah. So yeah, she's another revolution around the sun, as I like to say, and she's doing she works so hard, and she's like one of those types of people that doesn't ask for anything, like does not want for anything. She's just such a like frugal person, and so I got her some fun gifts this year.
Great.
So this would be kind of fun. So yeah, so her birthday. So if you see her out online, and you know you want to say it's this Saturday is her birthday, but we celebrate the whole week.
That's awesome.
We're celebrating. So,
well, she was so kind on my birthday. She did a whole graphic and sent it on my Facebook post.
I know. She really likes you.
How kind is that? That's awesome. I very much appreciate that.
She asks me like every other day, how's Brian doing?
Aww.
How's he doing? I'm like, I don't know. I don't talk to him every day. What do you think? She's like, oh, I thought you guys. I'm like, yeah, no, we talk on the podcast, but you know, like during the week, you and I are busy. Sometimes we talk on the phone.
Oh,
I'll call you and just bullshit and bust your chops or whatever. But yeah, no, she really likes you and Ben. She's you know always asking about both of you guys, but she really wanted you to have a good birthday. So,
I very much appreciate that. And all of you out there listening, go ahead and send either through Brian or if you happen to know Sarah, send her a happy birthday because she deserves it.
She does deserve it. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Work For It podcast. Next week, same bat time and same bat channel, you can find the Work For It podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. We appreciate you listening. And as always, we hope you have a good working week. My name is Brian House.
And I'm Brian Cohn. Let's get out of here.
Brian Cohn, we got to get out of here. All right. See you later.
See you guys. Bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Adios. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Oh, we lost Ben.
We don't know where you are, Ben, but we know you're out there somewhere, smiling upon us from Idaho, waving down from the
mountain of potatoes.
See you later.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.